Welcome to this week's edition of The Green. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. Barley Mill Plaza, the former DuPont Company office site just west of Wilmington, is now home to a pair of language-themed charter schools. Odyssey Charter landed there 3 years ago after unsuccessful attempts to take its growing school to a variety of other sites. Academia Antonia Alonso arrived last fall after saying so long to the Community Education Building, its previous home in downtown Wilmington. Their presence together creates a unique situation in Delaware. Two schools that emphasize multiculturalism and learning a second language, albeit with different approaches, sharing a campus and finding new ways to interact with each other. Contributor Larry Nagengast visited the two schools recently to learn more about how they've survived and thrived and how they're working together. His piece is available right now online at DelawarePublic.org, and this week he joined me to talk about what he found.
Let's start by looking at the two schools. Odyssey's been around since 2006, but is it fair to say it's become increasingly popular in recent years, and has its expansion come in conjunction with that growth and interest? And
what you're asking is absolutely true. Odyssey started out in 2006 and grew steadily as a K through 5 program until it reached an enrollment 400, 500 students in that area. And it leveled off at that point, and the parents of Odyssey students realized, we like this program, which has emphasis on Greek language, culture, and also teaches math in Greek as well. And there was an interest in continuing this beyond fifth grade. They didn't want their kids to lose this enthusiasm for Greek that they had had. They pushed for the school's board of directors to expand the age levels, and Odyssey then won approval from the State Department of Education to expand into a middle school, and then this year it has begun a high school program with the ninth grade. So yes, it has steadily grown. It's grown because it has become more popular. Enrollment is now up to 1,440 students. When they get to becoming a full K through 12 program, it'll be pushing close to 2,000 students.
But it did struggle to find this permanent home it now has at Barley Mill Plaza 3 years ago, correct?
Yes, it's been quite an odyssey for Odyssey in terms of moving around. They started in Wilmington. They were actually in a couple of locations, one of which was in a shopping center quite near Barley Mill, where they are now, in the shopping center where on Lancaster Pike, where there used to be a Pathmark supermarket. They used to be there. They had a facility at St. Thomas, the old St. Thomas Elementary School in Wilmington. So, yeah, they've moved around a bit. They tried to buy the Wanamaker building, which now Insight has on Augustine Cutoff. They weren't able to strike a deal there. Then they bought this historic Mundy Farm property up on Lancaster Pike near Hokesson, which was the site of the first Catholic mission church in Delaware. They ran into neighborhood opposition when they developed plans to put the school on that site. And then they landed at Barley Mill, and that was an interesting situation. The Barley Mill Plaza, which is formerly a DuPont office site, was purchased by Stoltz Realty people. There was a massive redevelopment plan that they had for houses, apartments, offices, stores, even a hotel. That got into a massive fight with county council, with residents, wound up in court. The rezoning that was approved was voided. And then after that, Stoltz decided to sell the property. They first sold about one-third of the 92 acres to Odyssey, and then later on, the remainder of the site was sold to Petnero, which is on the verge of coming up with a redevelopment plan for that portion of it.
How much did getting that spot at Barley Mill allow them to really move forward with the expansion plans? How necessary was it for them to have a sense of a permanent home before they could really start this full expansion to K through 12?
I think it was absolutely essential. They wanted a site where they could have a full K through 12 program in one location, rather than being, say, partially in the shopping center, partially in the old Catholic school, having half of it in one place, half in the other, and certainly there was not enough room even with those two to add the high school program.
How about Antonio Alonso? It's only been operating since 2014, 2015, but it's already made this major move that you discussed in your piece from the city to the suburbs. What has its first couple of years been like, and what prompted their move out of the city?
We wrote about this and talked about it close to a year ago. But they were Antonio Alonso was one of the first two tenants of the community education building, which is the high-rise former MBNA Bank of America office building that the Longwood Foundation acquired and for use by charter schools. And the building was it's rather palatial, plush mahogany. Walls, a huge cafeteria, a beautiful atrium, all this great stuff. But the logistics became a little bit overwhelming for Antonio Alonso, which started out as a kindergarten first grade program. The kids were either on the fourth floor or the sixth floor or whatever it was. I mean, they had to walk down a couple of flights of stairs to get to the cafeteria, but even worse, the way the arrangements were set up, they had to walk all the way down to the main level and then a block and a half to a parking lot for their recess. What's going on here is that they're finding out they're losing a lot of instructional time for little feet walking huge distances for them to have to traverse. And there were other issues as well. Teachers were having trouble accessing the building on weekends and nights. I mean, this stuff was covered in the lease, but it became an unanticipated problem for them. They realized that they would be better off in a different setting after 2 years. They contacted Odyssey, which had really purchased more land, more buildings than they needed, and they moved into one of the buildings that's part of the Odyssey complex last fall.
And that brings me to the next point, which is this setup at Barley Mill is not an equal partner situation. Odyssey is, in fact, kind of the landlord for Antonio Alonso, correct?
That's right. Odyssey's the landlord. Antonio Alonso is the tenant. But as of now, it's been a very good, very positive relationship, and the two schools are working together and collaborating in a number of ways.
We'll get that collaboration in a minute, but I did want to go back to Antonio Alonso and just how they're faring after these first 2 years. Do they feel pretty good about where they are in terms of what their plan for developing as a school is?
Yes, they are pleased. I mean, the rocky start that the school had led a number of students to withdraw early in that first semester of the first year, and it took a little bit of time for them to come back. But they're now a K-3 program. They're over 400 students enrolled, and they're planning on adding another 100 each year as they build out to being a K-5 program. They had management issues as well at the start. They went through three headmasters, heads of school within the first year, and then the current headmaster came on at the end of the first year. So he was at the community education building for the second year that they were there, and this is now his second full year with the program. And he's happy, he's pleased with the project progress that they're making right now.
Your piece does look at some of the collaboration between the two that you mentioned, and much of it seems to be kind of baby steps here at the outset. Can you give us some examples of what they're doing right now in terms of working with each other?
Academically, again, it's there's not a huge amount of room for collaboration. Antonio Alonso is a dual language immersion program with Spanish and English. Odyssey obviously has the Greek orientation, and the grade levels are different. One is K-5 and one is K-9 and growing. So the opportunities are somewhat limited, but Odyssey had its 10th anniversary celebration, and it was a Greek Olympics heritage type day. They invited the academia kids over to participate and get involved with that. On the other hand, when academia had its Hispanic heritage celebration, they invited the kids from Odyssey to come over. So they're meshing in that respect. Both schools use the soccer field that separates the two buildings that they use. They use that for recess. There's a playground that Odyssey has built that the academia kids use. The cafeteria is on Odyssey's property, and they cook all the food for the lunches for academia, and they bring that over for the academia kids to eat in their own building. So there are a lot of things like that that are going on. They're talking possibly next year about figuring out if there's a way of merging their bus routes so that rather than two sets of buses traversing different areas of Newcastle County, one bus could come and take the kids for both academia and Odyssey and bring them to and from school.
I imagine that would be where maybe future collaboration, if they were looking to do more or bigger things, would lie, would be more in those kind of logistics and infrastructure, maybe not so much in the academic realm itself.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, this is the same sort of thing that you see occasionally with Delaware's traditional public school districts, where they're doing things like ordering supplies together as a way of saving costs.
With no new charters on the horizon, but interest in them still relatively high, I imagine both schools are pretty optimistic about their future and their ability now to maybe grow at this site.
Well, I think, yeah, you're absolutely right about that. I mean, Nick Manolakos, who is the head of school at Odyssey, points out when we're talking that charter schools seem to have a perception to be safer than some traditional public schools. Many of them have a reputation for higher academic achievement, for possibly being a better environment for learning. And he adds, certainly in his case and academia's case, there is a growing public fascination with this idea of acquisition of a second language. So you take all of that together, and you can see why the operators of charter schools, at least the ones that are experiencing some success already, and you can see why they are hopeful for the future, that they would expect to maintain their enrollments and even continue to grow.
And your story does hint at the possibility of another charter coming in at this Bartley Mill Plaza location. What, if anything, do we know about that at this point?
Well, we don't know anything specific. What we do know is that behind the building that academia is in is an identically sized building that is connected to academia by a second story pedestrian overpass. The academia people say that they're thinking about in the early stages of perhaps adding a middle school program, which would take them from rather being K-5 to be K-8. And if that's the case, they would talk to Odyssey about leasing this adjoining building and putting their middle school there. On the other hand, Nick Manolakos at Odyssey says, I've had some calls from other charter schools that might also be interested in that space. So it's not necessarily a sure thing that academia would get it. And as you know, the charter landscape is continually evolving. There is this interest in dual language programming. The state is doing immersion programming now, not only in Spanish, but also in Chinese. It's not out of the realm of probability that another organization might come in and say, hey, we'd like to start a dual language charter in yet another language, and it would be kind of nice to be out where these two are. Mark Phelps, who's the headmaster at academia, has pretty much said the same thing, that if we could have a third charter school on this site that is dedicated toward teaching yet another language, it would be a great testimonial to multiculturalism, multilingualism, and send a strong message to the community that this is what people people in Delaware really care about. So, it, you know, we really don't know. Everything is pretty speculative, but, you know, the seeds are for something along those lines have at least been planted.
Thanks again to contributor Larry Nagengast for his time this week. And a reminder that his piece on Odyssey and Academia, Antonia Alonso, is available online right now at DelawarePublic.org. And next up on the green, arts groups locally are worried that the Trump administration may cut funding for the National Endowment for the Arts. We'll discuss what they say it could mean here in the first state next. Stay with us. You are listening to Delaware Public Media.